Welcome to the Growing Leaders Podcast with Tim Elmore. I'm your co-host, Andrew McPeak. Tim, we've got a really great conversation today that I'm excited about.
We sure do.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking with Brendan Sir. Brendan Sir is a basketball coach and leadership expert, among many other things. Sir actually won a pair of NBA titles as an assistant coach back in at Detroit, back when the Pistons claimed back-to-back championships in 89 and 90 under coach Chuck Daly. And then also, while he was at UCF between 2010 and 2015, Sir helped the Knights record three 20-win seasons and earn two trips to postseason tournaments.
March Pretty Madness. Incredible.
Yep. Most recently, Sir was the associate men's basketball coach at LSU. But outside of his coaching career, Sir is also building leaders. He's the founder of Coaching You, a coaching leadership and learning company, as well as Off the Court Incorporated, a business that features his skills as both a keynote speaker, executive coach, author, and consultant. He's also the author of Chuck Daly, Coaching You. Brendan is married to his wife, Brenda, and they have two children, BK and Christina. Tim, kick us off on this great conversation.
Thanks, Andrew. Well, Brendan, first of all, can I just say thank you for joining us today?
Well, it's my honor, truly, from the day we met, and I think this is what we strive for in our life. You're a game changer, a life changer for me, because I'm always searching to continually learn. And boy, I was never more pissed off than going to a meeting, an SEC mandatory meeting, and then all of a sudden my day brightened up. So maybe Sankey wouldn't be happy to hear that, but boy, it's the best thing that the SEC's ever done to me. Thank you.
I appreciate it. It was great to meet you that day, and that was just fun. Fun to hang out with coaches who love what they do and who are trying to equip the next generation to play sports well, obviously, but to use it as a platform to build good men and women. So, well, Brendan, let's kick it off. For those people that might not know you as well, I would love for you just to talk a little bit about your career journey. You have had some amazing experiences as a coach. Do you mind just walking through some of the highlights of your career for our listeners?
Without a doubt. I knew I wanted to be a coach. When I was a high school player, I was blessed to have the great UB Brown, Hall of Famer. Wow. UB Brown, yeah. An Atlanta resident, as my high school coach. And immediately when you have an influential person like that come into your life, even though I was 14, 15 years old, I knew this was the most powerful person I'd ever set eyes on or heard. And so at that moment, I wanted to be like him. And I knew I wanted to do that. So like when my mom and dad kept saying, well, where do you want to go to college? Where do you want to study? I said, I want to go be a coach. And my mother's like, oh, no, that's not what you do. My father, an automobile guy, he said, no, that's not what we're sending you to college for. But I knew that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did. And then when I was 21 years age, I hadn't even graduated yet. I was doing my student teaching and with about 2 months to go till graduation. And Dick Vitale was a coach that was in the area that had coached against me growing up. I used to work his basketball camps as a college player. He got the head coaching job. He was at University of Detroit. And before that was the assistant coach at Rutgers University, which was a national power back then. Huh. And he called me up and said, do you want to come with me? And I'm like, I had never coached a game in my life, you know? And I said, yeah, what do you want me to do? And he said, I want you to be one of my assistants. Back then, we only had two Division I. In Division I, we only had two full-time assistants. He wanted me to be one of them. And I didn't understand it. Yeah. But I took the job. Literally, you know, I just went, wow. You know, so I took it. I talked to my professors at college and said, hey, I got a job and I'm not going to finish my student teaching. The people were okay with that. And thank God they gave me my degree and all that. And it's good to have friends. And bang, there I was. I'm out there recruiting and, and spent over a year with Dick and, you know, recruited the best players in the country, Moses Malone and all these guys. Yeah. And next thing you know, I had an offer to come back east to Fairfield University. Then they were also a terrific team, and they only had one full-time assistant. And so I went there, and I I went there as the top assistant and only assistant and, you know, spent 5 years there before I came to your Atlanta Hawks as UB's assistant.
How about that?
And at 27 years of age, I'm in the NBA and I don't know a damn thing about the NBA. So I stayed there 30 plus years. It's now my 38th year involved with the NBA and have been 13 years in college coaching. And it's just been a magnificent journey. Wow. So, you know, going from UB Brown to Mike Fratello with the Hawks, great coaches, had an opportunity to go and spend, you know, 12 years with Chuck Daly, both in Detroit, where we went and won the world championship twice, the Dream Team in 92 in Barcelona. Wow. To we went after Detroit, we went to New Jersey to the Nets. For a couple of years, and then Chuck decided at 67 years of age he wanted to come back and coach again. We went down to Orlando Magic and coached, you know, a couple more years together. So he and I had a fabulous partnership and journey that really gave me my PhD in coaching.
Oh my gosh!
And that's no other. I had UB getting me started, Fratello in the middle, then and then had the incredible pleasure of that. And I had been, I became a really good coach because I had absolutely phenomenal players, and they were the ones that really give you the education. Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Dennis Rodman,
oh,
and everything.
Gosh, yes.
So I've been blessed. I think we have, you know, I've coached 23 players in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, it's obviously they didn't get there because of me. And so, but they just teach you so much.
Yeah.
And so it just was a fantastic, fantastic journey.
Well, it sounds like it. And I love the fact that you've underscored a couple of times that learning goes both ways. Certainly you were imparting value as one of the coaches, and my goodness, at what level? Crazy. But yet here you are today, a seasoned veteran saying, oh yeah, they taught me as well, just because they were so talented and they just got things so quickly. That's really fun. And I think that's what's supposed to happen in sports.
Tim, I think one of the biggest problems that we have nowadays is we never ask our players or students what their opinion is.
Yeah.
You know, one of the ways to really disengage someone that's with you, working for you, playing for you, or learning from you, is to never ask what they think. And one of the things that really came an eye-opener to me when I was working with Chuck Daly was before every game we're playing 100 games a year, he would ask our best players when we're having to make decisions how to guard a pick and roll, how do you want to guard Michael Jordan? He would ask the players and say, what do you want to do? Hmm. And you know what? That gave us great buy-in because they were now involved in the decision-making. Most of the time in coaching, especially at the collegiate level, high school level, we just tell players what to do.
Yeah, so true. Now, Brendan, you and I met, as you referred to earlier, talking about this newest generation of athletes. Remember that? That was the meeting we sat there together and in the SEC meeting. What are some of the most tangible differences you see in athletes, let's say today, compared to maybe 25 years ago? Just give me some of the things that top of mind that come to your
mind. Top of mind, number one to me is parents. That's me. You know, back in the day, as we like to say, you know, no matter what, I believed in my coach. My parents believed in my coach. And if they were wrong, they still believed them, just like they're my teachers. And if they said, hey, Brendan messed up, and he talked back to me or did anything, I'd get my fanny spanked.
They stood with the coach. Yeah, right.
Well, yeah, you know, and there was no problem there. Nowadays, the coach is almost never right.
Yeah.
We don't say to the kids, you know, you have to have a little more grit, perseverance, get it. It's always now about the coach is the problem. Why my son's not playing or daughter's not playing, or my son or daughter failed the test. It was because he didn't do a good job teaching. But they haven't brought home a book this semester, or you know they haven't asked for extra help. But it's your fault.
Yeah.
So I find that to be we're enablers as parents now compared to before. I think that's a big thing.
Yeah.
But you know, most of the thing that, you know, I think is just this ability, because of all the technology involved, that we have eliminated the relationship aspect.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not blaming one side or the other. I think it's a huge problem now that we have to figure out. You have to figure out as a leader, as a teacher, as a coach, how are you going to connect to these young people?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. And what we're continuing to hear and learn as we interact with student athletes is they want relationship-based coaching. They realize there's compliance issues and so forth and so on, but I think they want a relationship with a veteran, a coach who understands the game and wants to build a trusting connection. But that's very, very hard today, no doubt about it.
We think the hardest thing for me, I think now, is to understand that the hardest players to coach, the hardest students to teach, are the most gifted.
Mm, yeah, right.
But you have to be good.
Yeah.
And you're not good as a teacher, if you're not good as a coach, then that person says, how can you benefit me if you don't know what the hell you're doing? And so I think right now the easiest people to teach are the ones that, frankly, aren't very good. They'll do everything you try, but you're not going to be successful.
Yeah.
And so I think, credibility, competency are major things that the leader teacher must possess. Parent. I think a lot of kids, reject their parents because they frankly never talk to them in a meaningful way, never offer any solutions. I know a lot of parents that don't even have dialogue with their kids. And so I think that communication, I think, is the ultimate thing and how to gain trust.
Yeah, John Maxwell always taught me the years that I served under him that leadership operates on the basis of trust. And you're absolutely right. If we don't have that, boy, you can't pay enough money to an employee and you can't give enough perks to a player for that to be received another way. You can't buy that.
I think I one of my favorite things, and I think it might have been from another Atlanta native, Andy Stanley, said, trust is the ultimate human currency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I really like that, and all the relationships in the world break down due to a lack of trust.
Yeah.
No
doubt about it.
And so, that's why, people will say to me, I literally, when I work with coaches, my whole thing is based on relationship-based coaching. And one of my coaches who's one of the actually best in the world at what he does, he's gone from college now to the NBA. And he'll say, when we first started 15 years ago, he said, gosh, you want me to be a soft coach? I said, I want you to love your players.
Yeah.
And he said, well, yeah, that's soft. I said, you're just used to, playing in college for a guy to just kick your butt all the time.
Yeah.
That he loved you, but he did it a different way.
Yeah. That's right. So, I totally agree. Yeah. Well, it's that image that I love to use. It's one of our Habitudes images, the velvet-covered brick. You love them. There's the velvet. But it also shows up in the brick part of calling them to a standard that they might not achieve without a leader calling them to a standard. So that's what we got to do.
Really important. Really, really important.
So one of your latest stops in your great, great, great career was LSU. Kind of keep going with the answer to the last question I gave you, but let's get really, really tangible. What were some of your challenges as you coached at LSU with student athletes? Were they some of the same ones you had perhaps everywhere, or were there some new ones? But I know that's just your most recent stop, so it may be the most relevant.
Well, it's ironic that and that's a fabulous question, Tim. Is that when I went to UCF, Donnie Jones is the head coach, who's associate head coach at Wichita State. He was Billy Donovan's top assistant for years at Florida, and Donnie is a wonderful coach. And he had left Marshall University and as a head coach and came to UCF as they were moving into a big conference. They were going to go into the Big East Conference, which in a few months literally turned into the American Athletic Conference, when all the conference realignment.
Yeah.
And when we brought him in there, we inherited a team, and the team had a unique player on it by the name of Marcus Jordan, Michael Jordan's son. I had had Michael a couple of times, in the Dream Team and then the NBA All-Star Games and was a dear friend. And so Donnie was petrified to coach at first, Marcus, because, my God, you don't want to tick off Mike, But Michael is fabulous. And I remember when we had Michael down once and, Donnie just said, how do you want me to coach him? Which I think is a great question. Michael looked at me, and then he looked right at Donnie and said, I want you to coach him like he was your son.
Wow.
That was the ultimate permission you could give.
Yes, yeah.
And And, you know, I want you to be demanding. I want you to be hard on him. I want you to put your arm around him. I want you to kick him in the butt. But treat him like he's yours. Yeah. And you know what? And I think that is the greatest advice you can give a coach, is to treat the young boy or girl like it is your child.
Yeah. No doubt.
I don't want anyone abusing my child. I don't want it. But I want someone teaching him, loving him, caring for him, and serving him. And, you know, and that's, you know, that's the deal. And then when I went to LSU, we had, ironically, the number one player in the world on our team, Ben Simmons, who's now, technically a rookie with the Philadelphia 76ers. And Ben is just it was like LeBron James when he came out of high school. He went right to the NBA. Yeah. Ben was that good. And so to work with someone who's the best in the world at what they do, Tim, you know, you get the chance every now and then to do that. Yeah. It just takes you to another level. And so I basically was not coaching, wasn't going to plan to coach. And all of a sudden, when that came up, it was too good an opportunity. I knew what it was like to coach those kind of guys, and I knew it'd be fun. And it was a great experience. I'm glad I did it. He's incredible. He's, you know, what I learned is that, you know, this player didn't need college. He was that good. Yeah, you know, physically, his body was just ridiculous. But the thing that separates him, and what separates him now, he has the highest basketball IQ of any player I've ever been involved with.
Interesting.
He's up on the caliber of, you know, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird.
Wow.
Yeah, above LeBron, above Michael. I mean, above Kobe Bryant coming into the league. That's how gifted he is mentally. And so, that's a differentiator for him.
Yeah.
He sees the game. He's so far ahead. He's two plays ahead of where the rest of us in the world are. He's that gifted. And so to be with that, but boy, you better have been good, because if you're not good, he sees right through it, and he would be bored if you couldn't give him. It's that gifted AP student that now he's sitting there saying, "What do you got for me?"
Yeah.
And if it ain't enough, then, what am I doing with you?
Yeah.
You know, and that's that. I think that's the beauty. That's the fun part of me of coaching is to be able to challenge someone and to say, "I'm going to show you something, or I'm going to tell you something that you don't know."
Yeah,
that's what I loved about being with Ben.
I would think that's what keeps you stretched as a leader, is, you know, you've got very gifted underlings, you know, that you're serving as a leader, and they're really good. So you better be good. You better keep stretched to make sure you're adding value to a very, very valuable person.
And I love that part about working with the best coaches in the world, as also the best business leaders. To when I do an executive coaching session with a business leader that's running a major corporation.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden to tell him, "How did you make that decision?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Because that's what I do." And I said, "But that's wrong, you know, because you're only thinking about you."
Yeah.
And the problem with leaders and head coaches sometimes is they think this is all about them. It's not. It's all about the people you serve.
Yeah,
all about
that's
the,
right.
This is all about your players. This is all about your students. This is all about your children. Business, coaching, parenting, same skill set in mind. And so, you know, that's where you have to come to. And so I love working, and I don't mean this in a snobbish way, I love working with gifted people because they challenge me.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean, you know, one of the most fun things I did at the collegiate level at UCF and at LSU is, you know, we have managers that, you know, help out the program.
Yeah.
Students that, you know, are there trying to get part of their education. Many of them want to be coaches. And I love working with those guys because they're so hungry.
Yeah.
And so part of my thing is to help those guys become, I hate a coach that will walk by and never talk to a young guy that's trying to. Why would you not mentor someone like that wants it?
I agree.
That's kind of a complete picture, but that's kind of where we are. But, I'm on this continual journey of mastery. So I just need about 30, 40 more years.
Just a little more time. Well, Brendan, I got a couple more questions to ask you. This next one's kind of a loaded one. You have mentioned more than once in this conversation we've had about the essential task of building trust, that this is in Andy Stanley's words, the ultimate currency. I really believe that's true. I believe there are coaches and educators and even parents listening right now saying, I want to do that. How do I do that? Would you just talk about a handful of ideas that you have used as you have built trust with student athletes over the years and with young ball players that might work for someone else today?
Well, I think communication becomes the ultimate thing right there. Yeah. And so everyone thinks, especially my coaching friends, that communication means me talking. And communication to me means me listening to you and respecting what you're saying. Yeah. And my son is 34 years old. He lives in Orlando and he's in medicine right now. And every day he calls me once or twice. All I want to know is, how are you doing? What's going on? Can I help you in any way? Mm. And then, that's what the relationship is based on, is that I'm not telling him, hey, make sure when you get home, you feed your baby. It's about what can I do? What advice can I give you? I've been down this road before or anything, or you know what? Just saying, hey, Dad, see you later. I love you.
Yeah.
That to me is, when the relationship you want to build as a player, as a coach player relationship is that, I truly love the players I work with.
Yeah.
And men have a hard time saying that.
Yeah, it's true.
To me, it's so powerful. And because what I found out from, Chuck Daly was a genius of relationship-based coaching. And he used to say, Brendan, you can't fool dogs, kids, or NBA players. And that saying was so simplistic. And at first time I heard it, I just said, that's funny, but what does it mean? And, and I have five dogs. And so when I tell them, hey, I'm going out here, I'll be right back, they know I'm not coming back, mm-hmm. and they want to run out. And if you have a little baby or a young child and you tell them, hey, we're going to go upstairs and read a book, they know you're putting their butt to bed.
Yeah.
And the NBA players, if you don't know what you're doing, those guys know it. Yeah. I don't care what their scores were on the ACT or the SAT.
That's right.
They know if you don't know.
Yeah.
And so I think what we need to do is make sure that the players unconditionally know you love them. Greg Popovich, the coach of the Spurs, he is the most demanding coach we have in the NBA. He loves his guys, and it comes through all the time. Yeah. But there's no one that gets on his players harder than him.
Yeah.
And that just shows you, my friend John Gordon, another best-selling author like yourself, he says he doesn't believe in tough love. He believes in love tough. Mm, you got to love them before be tough.
That's right. Yep.
And so that's kind of the big thing with me is that unconditional love that we love about my dogs. They love me no matter what. They don't care if I ever won a game. They could care less. And that's the way I want to be. Yeah. If you don't love your players, it comes through and then the teaching goes sideways because they're not listening.
Yeah.
And nowadays, the big thing is you got to get people to listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. This is so rich, Brendan. These are fundamentals of just good coaching, and it does begin with relationship, communication, trust, everything you're outlining. So let me ask you one final question, and I just want you to respond just from the wealth of your experience. If you were sitting down with a new coach, and he or she was new to the business, but they were hungry to learn, so you knew you had a teachable leader, what would be the advice you would give them?
Well, the first thing, is no matter what you're teaching, football, basketball, volleyball, it doesn't matter. There's a wonderful, neat saying, we all want our people to buy into what we're selling to them.
Yeah.
So, I always say you got to believe in to get buy-in.
Hmm.
So, if they don't believe in you, if they don't believe in what you're teaching, they're not buying into you.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. But, I often say to people, to coaches when I'm talking to them, the greatest gift that you can give to your players or students or your own children is to believe in them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You watch guys that are coaching, and I'm talking about some Hall of Fame guys, and then all of a sudden their player makes a mistake. They put their hands on their head. They embarrass them in front of everyone.
Yeah.
You know, and then when the kid makes a basket to win the game, all of a sudden he's running around hugging them like, you know, that was his play. And you got to believe in them when they make mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, you got to comfort them when they screw up, you know. So that's one of it. But, you know, I often talk to coaches, and one of the things, my first thing I talk to them about is, you know, purpose. Is I always ask them, why do you coach? And there's coaches that I know, Hall of Fame guys that and gals, that they say, well, you know, I want to see if my offense can beat your defense and if your defense can stop my offense. And you know what? You shouldn't be coaching if that's what you're coaching for.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about developing people.
Yeah.
You know, our friend Mr. Maxwell, you know, says, you know, what are you doing to develop yourself every day? Yeah. What are you doing to develop others? You know, and so that is why you coach. Mm-hmm. That is exactly why. And the problem is we don't have anywhere that we teach and certify coaches on the most important part of coaching is not X's and O's. It's the human part of it, the people part of it. That's the thing that's missing in coaching, and that's why we're having problems
Absolutely.
In coaching.
Absolutely. I think you're right. Brendan, you are spot on. You have hit the nail on the proverbial head. I so appreciate you carving out time. What you've shared is worth pondering for every listener, whatever their industry, whatever they do, but certainly for coaches. Thank you. Thanks a million for carving out some time. I'm looking forward to the next time we get to connect.
It's an honor, Tim. Thank you so much. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, you betcha.
Thank you so much, Brennan and Tim. That was incredible. I have a page full of notes here. If you're listening and you don't have a page full of notes, either you're in the car and it would have been unsafe, or you need to go back and listen to that again because that was incredible. So a question I never want to have to answer, Tim, how do you stop Michael Jordan?
Yes,
a question
I hope
had.
I never have to.
I hope I don't that. Either. So, yeah. Hey, thanks again for that conversation, Tim and Brennan. That was incredible. If you are sitting there and you're listening to this and you're thinking, I want to have that kind of relationship with my players, we've just heard that's a key, a huge factor in success is all about relationship. I really think a great tool to do that, Tim, is Habitudes. In fact, we have this thing called Habitudes for Athletes.
Yeah.
And really what it is it's images that are going to help you start conversations that you're going to be able to not only have a relationship with your students, but actually turn that relationship into some conversations about leadership and life skills, some really important conversations they need to have.
Yeah. So coaches, if you're listening, this is actually a tool that lets you not just start conversations like Andrew just said. It gives you language to share principles that I know you believe in, but because it's an image, it's interactive. Pictures are worth 1,000 words. There are coaches and teams across the country, Andrew, now using this, and it's at professional level, but also Division I, NCAA, and then, of course, high school. It's been so cool to hear the stories of what's happening with relationships between coaches and athletes because of this simple tool.
Yeah, and this is what we're all about. So please check that out. If you want to see a free sample, you can get a free sample right now if you go to growingleaders.com, check out Habitudes for Athletes. As always, we appreciate your comments, questions, and suggestions for this podcast. Just send us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. We love to get those. Thank you again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.